great, go upstairs for a Bible lesson, and then they'll come down during communion for prayer, time with us. Hello, good afternoon. My name is Niyi. I'm the Director of Community Engagement here at Northside Church. I want to welcome you to the church this afternoon. This is where we strive to be a multiracial, multi-ethnic community, multi-generational in a time that is very tense racially. That's what we strive to do here. As Revelation says that there were many tongues and all tongues and tribes were there worshiping God in heaven. That's what we strive to do here on earth right now. So I'm glad you joined us this afternoon. All visitors, I'm glad you joined us. Members, I'm glad you joined us. Again, if you're a visitor and you haven't received a card, please see an usher. They'll give you a card to fill out because we want to pray for you this week. We want to contact you and see how you're doing and just see how you like to hear. So I hope you enjoy yourself. I hope the word of the Lord speaks to you today. So join me right now as we read Acts 3, 1 through 10. This is where our scripture comes from today. This is what has been assigned to me, Acts 3, 1 through 10. And the scripture's up above you. You can also find it in your Bibles in the pew. You can also keep that. If you don't have a Bible, you can take it home with you in the chairs. Acts 3, 1 through 10. Let's read. Now Peter and John were going to the temple at an hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate at the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, and as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and enter the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord lasts forever. Praise be to the God. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing us here to hear your word. I pray you soften our hearts, our mind, our understanding to be able to take in what you've gotten for us today, that we'll be able to apply to our lives daily through our walk, at work, at home, in the library, as we're chilling with our friends and family, that will bear witness to you and what you've done in our lives, in other lives, so people can see you and give praise to you and what you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. 3 weeks ago, Joel preached to us from Acts 2, where we saw that the disciples were up in the upper room waiting for what the Lord had promised about 50 days prior. And Luke describes them being in the room in one accord, one faith, and then it said a violent rushing wind came rushing through the building, just violently rushing through. And then Luke records that it was as if tongues of fire was being distributed on each of them. That's what the Bible says. And as it was being distributed on each of them, they started prophesying and speaking in other languages, testifying to what God has done in their life, testifying to what Jesus has done. The Holy Spirit filled them that day. And then it says 3,000 people were saved. Peter preached his message, knees were bowed, people confessed, and people were saved that day. This was a fulfillment of Acts 1, verses 1 to 4, where Jesus was leaving earth, ascending, and he said to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until you receive power. Do not leave Jerusalem until you get the Holy Spirit and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when this happens, this will be evident. You'll be witnesses of me in Judea, Samaria, and throughout the world." You'll be witnesses of what I've done on earth and through your life when you receive the Holy Spirit. So Joel challenged me that day. I asked a lot of questions when I was sitting there and I was struggling. And I straight up asked, do I have the power of the Holy Spirit? Is it evident in my life? Are people coming to Christ through me? Are people being healed through me? Am I emotionally helping people out, spiritually helping people? Am I in community, laughing and loving others? Is it evident? Then I also looked around and said, is it evident in this church? And those are serious questions I had to ask myself as I was digging deep in my soul. And then Matt came last week and continued talking about the Holy Spirit and what was happening in the community. And it said they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, continually. They were continually in fellowship, and they were breaking bread and having fellowship with each other, having communion with each other daily and praying. And it says everyone was kept in awe, everyone. Signs and wonders were happening all over the place, and people were constantly praising God. And it said this, they had favor in the community. People saw what was happening, and they started having favor because of what was happening. And it says Jesus restored people daily, starting adding people to their fold daily. So it was like a revolving cycle. People were being saved. People continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, all this happening. They were praising, and the others were seeing, and then they were wondering. This can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. But he also talked about one more thing. They started sharing, selling their possessions and their property, giving the money to the apostles and to the church so that people won't be in need. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Only the power of the Holy Spirit will encourage someone to sell their stuff, their property and possessions, to give to those that lack. You cannot do that on your own. This is evident from the power of the Holy Spirit. So I ask you, is the power of the Holy Spirit evident in your life? Have you experienced these things in people's lives, in your life, the church life? People ought to have and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit so that for three reasons, and that's what I'm going to share with you today. It's important that we don't fall prey to faulty theology that says God is not imminent. So do you believe this? Have you fallen prey to a merely intellectual faith that is steered by a faulty theology girded by a Christ who isn't imminent, a spirit that does not have power from the Father, and a deceptive idol of human wisdom that says this doesn't happen? Is he evident in your life? God wants you to walk in. He wants me to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants his church worship service to utilize and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants your Northside groups, your engagement teams, the church, you to walk in and utilize the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what was happening in Acts 1 and 2. So when we get to Acts 3, there's no surprise that we still see God walking, working through people's lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what happens when we see Peter and John walking to the temple and the Spirit shows up. They were going to worship the Christ who saved them, the one who gave them this power, the creator of heaven and earth. And since we know the power of the Holy Spirit was driving and guiding Peter and John from previous chapters, it is no surprise that we record Luke, who is a doctor, record that something impossible happened, something unexplainable happened, something that makes no human sense happen. Why? Well, there's three reasons. There's three W's, which I'm going to give you today, on why we need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Three W's, which reflects three reasons why you need to have and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The first reason is this. Encountering the power of the Holy Spirit makes people whole. First point, encountering the Holy Spirit makes people whole. The Bible says that Peter and John was approaching the temple when a lame man was being carried to the temple to beg. Luke, who's the author of Acts, who's medically trained, made sure to record something that was medically unexplainable. It says that he was lame from his mother's womb. And he most certainly was no man of status. He most certainly was no man of privilege. And when he was a child, he could only look at other children play. Play jump rope, hopscotch, all that stuff, run, race, see who's the fastest, flip. He could only do that, yearning to be with them. It was most certain that as he was lame, he was walking around, probably children made fun of him. They said, look at him. That is what he grew up with. This man from birth was like this. And this is what we have here that Luke is recording, that he was lame from his mother's womb. He could only yearn to be able to walk, run, hop, and play with children. And as an adult, he could only yearn to work. And he couldn't do that. So being born in this situation where he didn't have all the privileges of the other children, he was left to do no other thing but to beg. There was no pulling himself up by his own bootstraps. There was no just work hard and it'll be all right. He was like this from birth. So the scripture goes on to explain that this lame man was being carried to the temple. And as he was being carried, he saw Peter and John towards the beautiful gate. And this gate was most likely, scholars believe, it was at the east side where other beggars would have been. People of status would have been going there, so most likely it was other beggars there, people yearning to be taken care of. It said that this gate was roughly about 60 feet wide and made of Corinthian bronze. And this is where this lame man was, begging for something right in front of something that was so spectacular. He was lacking. From his mother's womb, he was lame. So as he was being carried to ask for alms, he looks at Peter, looks at John, sees him going as he's being carried, and he asks for something. The Bible says that they turned to him and they fixed their eyes on him. They gazed at him. This was the same word that was used when Jesus was raising up into the heaven, said the disciples were gazing at him when he was ascending into heaven. They were fixed on him because the Holy Spirit had them fixed on him. They recognized this man who's there daily. He's there daily. You see people on the street there daily. But this time, walking in the Spirit, they were guided to fix their eyes on him. They turned their head and gave him all their attention. And then they said, look at us. And as the man fixed his attention on him, he was looking for one thing. He was expecting some money. But Peter said to them, I have no silver or gold. Now, this is interesting, because just in the previous chapter, we read that they were selling their property and possessions so that other people won't be in need. So we have to ask the question, did they sell themselves to the point where they had the desire, they had to sell their stuff to a point where they had to rely on the Holy Spirit to take care of them? Did they sell their retirement, their future retirement, and all that stuff, and now they're weak? Silver and gold have I not. But he says, I do have one thing. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Silver and gold have I not, but what I do have, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have is Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Before they had money, they had possessions, they had all that stuff to share among each other. So whatever you do have, give to God. But once you get to the point of being weak and vulnerable, you still have something else, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. What I do have, I give to thee. Silver and gold have I not. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they said, this will happen next. They said they reached out their hand and picked him up by the right hand. It's important that once we proclaim the word to God to people, that we may need to give them a handout and reach out to them and help them up. Then the scripture says next, this is what Luke records, the medical doctor, it says that his feet and his ankles, Greek says the ankle bones, became strong. Now he's empowered. It's important that when we reach out to people who claim Christ, we reach out a hand and give them a handout, we may need to be with them until they're made strong enough to be on their own. But Christ does that work, not you. You just be with them. You reach out your hand and give them a handout if you have to. And it says this. His feet was made strong. His ankle bones were made strong. And then it said he leaped up. He leaped up. Praising God for what has been done. The text says that he leaped up and stood and walked. Leaped up, stood, and walked. He was healed. He was restored. He was made new. He was made whole. Encountering the Holy Spirit makes you whole, which leads to the next one. Encountering the Holy Spirit in your life, when you're touched, when people's lives are touched, they will worship God. Amen. Second point, encountering the Holy Spirit makes you want to worship. Amen. Ask about the Holy Spirit in your life if you're not worshiping him. Ask about it. Encountering the Holy Spirit makes people want to worship God. After Peter and John called on the name of Christ to heal and make him whole, it says that he leaped up, walking and leaping, into the temple to worship. He was on the outside before, but now he's going into the temple. This brings me to another thing. A lot of times, healing is not going to happen in this building. Right. It's going to happen out there, outside the four walls. It's not happening in the temples. It's happening when you're out on the street, yeah, reaching and touching people that's not even allowed in here, who won't come in here until after you go out to them. So if you think this is where it is, ain't in here. This is where we worship God for the empowerment to go out there and do it. So he leaped up, went into the temple, worshiping God. He was walking and leaping and praising God. He was walking and leaping and praising God. For his whole life, this man was lame. He was unable to do what others can do. He was unable to fend for himself in the same way others could. In various ways, he lacked. You know, people say people are slackers. He wasn't a slacker. He was a lacker. He just lacked. A lacker. Now that he was restored, refreshed, made new, made whole, now that he thought through what God had brought him through before, where he was before and where he is now, he wants to worship. Encountering the power of the Holy Spirit, his reason, makes people want to worship. First one, makes people whole. Second one, makes people worship. Third one, encountering the power of the Holy Spirit causes people to wonder. It causes people to be in wonder. Verse 9 and 10. Verse 9. Let's read verse 9 and 10 again. Verse 9 and 10. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. They saw him doing something he was unable to do before. Saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. They were not praising him. They were praising what would happen. They were in wonder and amazement as what happened to him. People saw him. They saw the work of Christ in his life and took note. And verse 10 says that the Bible says they were amazed and filled, not just in wonder, but filled with wonder and amazement at what was happening. They were amazed. Encountering the power of the Holy Spirit makes people wonder. That's what Acts 2 also said. They were in awe and wonder all the time because of what God was doing in their community and through their community. People ought to have and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit so God can work through them to make people whole, which causes newly whole people to worship him and others to be filled with wonder at the marvelous works. God wants to work in here, in us, and through our lives, through this church, so that we can be made whole. It's various parts of our lives. It's little areas of our lives. It's different areas that we could be made whole in. In all those areas, God wants us to be whole so that we can worship him with fullness and grace. People can see what was happening in this community, what we're responding to, and people can be amazed and in wonder what God is doing in us and through us.
Yeah.
I'm in the process of buying a house, right? Well, I'm in the process of moving right now. And I'm looking at rental properties and properties that are for sale. And part of this process, it's been really frustrating and enjoyable at the same time. I've seen approved properties that has a little space, some that has a lot, some with a considerable amount of land, some that has nothing worth mentioning. I've seen some in the county, some in Richmond. Most of them have been underwhelming to me. I've seen a few of old homes that are newly built and still in the process of being built with plumbers and electricians still in there. I've seen some older homes that need work and got patched up. And I've seen some great renovation works. You can turn to the next slide where it's got a picture here. You guys know about this old house, but this is this lame house. And those are for the older people. You probably don't know this old house, but just come on PBS or whatever network. Yeah, this old house. Let me tell you, I used to hate that show because my father watched it every Saturday. But it did have some great ideas. Now they got HDTV. But this lame house. This was house 1910 was built right here in South Burton Heights, Barton Heights. And this thing needed a cosmetic makeover. It needed everything. It was pretty bad. It was gutted. Everything was taken out. They removed everything down to the beams. They washed the walls. They did everything in that. They got a grant to work on this house. They gutted everything out because it was all a mess. They removed all the plumbing, all the electricity. They knocked down some walls, removed some rooms that was unstable and actually didn't put it back up. And they rebuilt it from ground up with a good foundation. The foundational walls are still there from 1910. Great, strong walls. They said they wanted a good bone house with good bones to just build on, and that's what they did. So someone saw, when they looked at this house, the builders, they saw something in this house that some people didn't see. They saw beyond the dirt. They saw beyond the lameness. They saw beyond the right house now. That is what it is right now. They saw beyond the rodents that was running around. They saw beyond what was looked outside. They saw beyond the interior mess. They saw beyond the lame house and said, I can do something with this. I can restore, make new, afresh, and whole again. I can make this into something that can bring us praise as builders and work and bring praise to our work and what we do. I can make people in this city amazed and in awe. So that house went to, now that's the back over there, that's the front. Now I went to the next one. You can go to the next slide. It's the inside. Hardwood floors, original chimney, next one. You could just flip through them. Living room, dining room, master bed. That's the master bedroom suite. Subway towels on walls. That's the kitchen. That's the back of the house. You go to the next one. That's what it was before. Someone saw beyond the mess that was there. This guy was a lacker.
Right.
You can go to the next one.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That's where it is.
That's nice.
Okay. Although this house had a great builder who worked a miracle in revitalizing this house. I can tell you, I know a greater revitalizer. Go to the next slide. I know a greater builder, a greater restorer, a greater wanderer, people that makes people want to wonder, He's the one above all names. He's the bright and morning star, the lily of the valley. He's the one who is before all nations, the creator of all things, and in through him have been made in him and through him. I know someone that can gut you and work through you and take all the gunk. When people pass you by and say, nothing's going to come out of that, people can come. God said, I can make something beyond what is there. You got to remember, Peter was the one that goofed up a lot. And he's the one preaching now, and people are being saved. 3,000 people are being saved. That same thing can happen through you, because we have a God who died on the cross, who came to earth and says, you guys are messed up. You can't do anything to come to me, but I'm going to come and restore you, make you whole so that people, so you can worship. People can see what I've done through you, and people can wonder at my works. He's able to renew and restore everyone who's lacking. Everyone who's lame, because someone is lame, everyone is lame in some way. What is that area you're lame in? In some area of life, he's the one able to take the gut, get you out, and clean you up and present you in front of everyone, holy and blameless, including God. He's no patch up maker. He gets you from the ground up, guts you, and make you whole. So do anyone in here feel hopeless, tired, beat up, feel like you ain't worth nothing? You feel like people look past you and don't think you're anything? You feel like you keep messing up? You feel like you're not a good mother, not a good father, not a good husband, not a good wife, not a good worker? You feel like you're not accomplishing anything? You're lacking somewhere. Do you feel that way? Let the power of the Holy Spirit touch you. Are you emotionally drained? Are you emotionally and spiritually lacking? Well, reach out your arms to God the Father. Let him touch you. Let him work it in every part of your life so he can make you new and restore you. Ask him to manifest himself in your life daily. In your Northside group, in your worship services, and engagement teams, so that when you go out there in the community, you can touch, you can heal people, people can be made whole, people are being saved, people can join the fellowship and start having their needs filled. And people can look at us and they look back and say, look what God has done through them in the community. People can look at what God has done in your life and say, look what God has done. And not praise you, but praise God for the work he's done in you. If anyone is in there, reach out to the Father so he can touch you today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the words you've given us today. I pray that you would touch us. Let us not be prideful and bold on what areas that we don't want you to touch. Let us not be intimidated by the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can be made whole. So others can be made whole, so we can worship you, so others can worship, and then so that people can wonder at your marvelous works. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, as our custom, let us bow our heads, confess our sins, and prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper.